Hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome to our three ideas in 30 minutes. As you know, my favorite 30 minutes of the week as we get energized and ready for Shabbos. This, I believe, is our 1 year anniversary of starting to do this on Erev Shabbos. I know for me, it's been enormously enriching. It's helped me get prepared for Shabbos. And I hope for you as well. I, in fact, bumped into one of our listeners last night. We were out at a restaurant. And it was really nice to be able to connect in person. As much as I enjoy seeing your faces up there, if you ever see me, please don't hesitate to come by and say hello. I always love seeing people in person. Our class this morning is sponsored anonymously in memory of Teddy Kellen, Shimon Tuvia Ben Dov Yehuda Leib Chaim. Our learning should be Leuli Nishmasam. Our learning also this morning is sponsored in memory of my grandfather on his yahrzeit, Avram ben Moshe. Our learning should be for an aliyah for his neshama as well. And for refuah shleima for my cousin, Rafal Aaron HaKohen ben Rivka, who is in need of a refuah shleima and who we are learning in his merit as well. Okay, here we go. Three ideas, 30 minutes, as has become our custom. I think this is the new minhag here, is that my favorite idea is going to come second. Right? If I give it to you first, you're going to jump off. If I give it to you last, I might lose you. So I think the new minhag is that my favorite idea is going to be second. I'm going to bookend it with great ideas, but at least now you know that the money idea, the one that's going to get Rabbi Moskowitz so excited, is always going to come second until I change that up on you just to keep you on your toes. But here we go. Idea number one comes from Rav Moshe Sternbach. We actually just got this for someone as a gift, so I was like, oh, let me flip through it a little bit. And I saw a very beautiful idea in it. The pasuk in this week's parsha tells us, "Vayetsu kol adas bnei Yisrael milifnei Moshe," that the entire Jewish people left from before Moshe Rabbeinu. They left. They had departed. They exited stage right. Ask for Moshe Sternbach such an obvious question. V'yesh lahavin, ma chiddush b'kach sheyatsu milifnei Moshe? Why does the Torah need to tell us that? We know that the Torah never wastes real estate and never tells us anything that is unnecessary or seemingly superfluous. So why does it need to tell us that? V'harei kevan shenemar b'tchilas ha-parsha, v'yakel Moshe es kol adas ben Yisrael. At the beginning of the parsha, it tells us that Moshe gathered the people. Well, we have a principle in physics, which is called whatever goes up must come down. So in gatherings as well, whatever gathers has to ungather. So as for Moshe Sternbach, isn't it such an obvious thing that if Moshe Rabbeinu gathered all the people at the beginning of the Parsha, certainly they had to leave at some point. Why then does the Pasuk need to tell us, Vayetsu, kol adas b'nei Yisrael milivnei Moshe? Why does it need to tell us that they left Moshe Rabbeinu? That is the question of Moshe Sternbach. And the answer, I think, is magnificent. He quotes from Ravi Eliyahu Lapian, beautiful sefer, Lev Eliyahu, who says the following. He says, you can tell a lot about a person, not by how they enter something, but how they exit something. Tell a lot about a person, not about how they enter, but how they exit. He says, Shekavanasa pasuk ushiye nikar aleim bitziyasam, shem yatsa atam milifnei Moshe. The key here is not that they left, but they left milifnei Moshe. The same way he says, you could tell a drunkard by the way they leave a party. And by the way, a drunkard, lahavdil, leaves a party, so they are consumed with the experience. You see someone who just left a party, you know that they left the party. They smell like it, they act like it. Everything about them tells them that they just left a party. So to hear, lahavdil, kamokein hu nikar al am Yisrael, sheyatsu milifnei Moshe. So to hear, the key is not just that the Jewish people left, but that they left milifnei Moshe, that they imbibed the experience that they had when they were with Moshe. Shenivla bahem hahashba'a shel Moshe. Shenivla bahem. In other words, they imbibed the experience of being near Moshe Rabbeinu. They imbibed the kedusha of Moshe Rabbeinu. And so says Rav Eliyahu Lapian, quoted by Rav Moshe Sternbach in his sefer, beautiful sefer, Tam Vedas. He says, you want to know what it means, sheyatzu milifnei Moshe, that they left before Moshe? It means that they were transformed by the experience. That they came in one way, but that they left another way. That when they left the experience of Moshe, they exuded this Yirat Shamayim, they exuded this element of Kedusha that says, I am not the person that I was when I came into the meeting with Moshe. They didn't leave unchanged. They didn't leave untransformed, but rather they left as changed people. They left, again, lahavdil, as if a drunkard's coming out of a bar. You see that person, you know exactly who they are and exactly where they came from. When you saw Klal Yisrael leaving before Moshe, you said, that's a changed people. That's a people that was just had a rendezvous with the Almighty. They just had a rendezvous with something that was infinite, something that was kadosh. You and I have all had these experiences in our lives where we meet someone sometimes and that meeting transforms us. And we can't put our finger on exactly what that person said or what it exactly about it changed us so much, but simply being in their presence, we left as a changed and different person. And so says Rav Moshe Sternbach, that you can judge a lot about a person, not necessarily by how they go in, but how they go out. Do they carry that experience with them? Now, I want to connect this and make a hosafa to Rav Moshe Sternbach's idea. And I want to do it by quoting a line from Kol Mekadesh Shvi. Of course, one of the Zmiros that we recite on Friday night. Personally, it is one of my favorites. And there's a line in there that makes absolutely no sense. And again, this is not Rav Moshe Sternbach. This is my addition to what Rav Moshe Sternbach says. But money back guaranteed. You're going to love it. I promise. You're going to quote it at your Shabbos table. Okay? Here we go. We say in Kol Mekadesh Shvi, Hama'acharim latzeis min ha-shabbat u'memaharin lavo. That one of the accolades that we give to the Jewish people is that they are me'acharim latzeis min ha-shabbat. That when they leave Shabbos, they do so with peace and serenity. They're not running out of Shabbos. They're not running to turn on their cell phones. They're not running to turn on the news. They're not running to turn on the TV. But they're me'acharim. They indulge in Shabbos just a few extra minutes. U'memaharim lavo. And when they come into Shabbos, they do it with a sense of excitement and an alacrity and an enthusiasm. Asks, I don't remember who I once saw in the Chassidish Sefer. I wish I remembered who, and I apologize for not being able to quote the primary source, but it's amazing. Shouldn't the syntax of the line be the opposite? Don't you come into Shabbos before you leave Shabbos? And if that's the case, then the Pasuk should have said, Mimaharim lavo, that we run into Shabbos with enthusiasm, u'me'acharim latzeis min ha-shabbat. And when we leave Shabbos at the end, so we do so with a sense of peacefulness and tranquility, we're not running out, but we indulge ourselves in Shabbos for just a few extra minutes. The pasuk is flipped around. We say, ha'me'acharim latzeis min ha-shabbat, that the first accolade we give is that we don't run out of Shabbos, but we run into Shabbos. Should be the opposite. So again, I once saw a beautiful interpretation. Again, I don't remember where, and I apologize for that. But anyone can run into Shabbos. That is the easy thing to do. It's not very hard to say to yourself, you know what? I had an enormously stressful week. I can't wait to turn off technology. I can't wait to turn off my cell phone and to enjoy my family and to enjoy Kedusha and to enjoy singing and to enjoy davening and to enjoy learning. That anyone can do. Who doesn't want to turn off the noise from this world? I know for me personally, I cannot wait to shut down my cell phone for Shabbos. And even though I work on Shabbos, there's something incredible about turning off WhatsApp and text messaging and emails and social media and just saying, you know what? I'm going to allow myself to experience human interaction and relationships over the next 25 hours. So it's very easy to run into Shabbos. That's not where your money as a Jew is made. You want to know the much harder part of Shabbos? Not running out of Shabbos. That when, I don't know what time Shabbos ends, it's Motzei Shabbos. Let's pick a time and don't quote me on it. Let's say 7:03, right? When 7:03 hits this Motzei Shabbos, to not run to turn on your phone, to not run to go back on social media, to not run and to check the news, by the way, which usually doesn't change so much from the day before. I got, right, the sky is falling. That's the news. Here, I just summarized it for you. Right? To not run to do that, but to, again, allow yourself to indulge in the Kedusha Shabbos for just a few extra minutes, that is a much harder nisayon. That says a lot more about your relationship with Shabbos. Anyone can run into Shabbos, because at the end of the day, Shabbos is about disconnecting. Everyone wants to disconnect. You know what's a lot harder? Remaining disconnected as we leave Shabbos. And so therefore, the first accolade we give the Jewish people is, Hama'acharim latzeis min ha-shabbat. They don't run out of Shabbos, right? U'memaharin lavo. And also they run into Shabbos. one of the great additions to my family's Shabbos experience. Rina Moskowitz, you know exactly what I'm talking about here. One of the great additions is, again, halachically, there's a whole debate, and I'm not going to get into the halachic debate right now, but I made a conscious decision that I now sit for Havdalah. And again, halachically, there are different poskim on different sides, whether you're supposed to stand, sit, or Moshe has a tshuva about it. But I chose to sit now. And the reason why I did it is for this very purpose. I found that when I stood for Havdalah, I said it quickly, and then I went on with my night. When I sit for Havdalah, it's an experience. I savor it. I enjoy looking around the table and experiencing the many brachas that are around me. And so by standing, it's like you're on the fly. When I sit, I am me'acharim latzeis min haShabbat. I'm trying to catch on, hold on to just a few extra moments to Shabbos. That, says Rav Moshe Sternbach, is what this pasuk is talking about. Vayitzu kol adas b'nei Yisrael milifnei Moshe. It's very easy to run into something. But what says everything about you is the way you leave it. What do you leave Shabbos with? Do you leave Shabbos and you just can't wait to count down the clock until you can turn back on your phone? Or do you leave Shabbos a changed, transformed person because of the Kedusha you experienced, because of the davening, because of the singing, because of the Divrei Torah? That, says Rav Moshe Sternbach, is what it means, Vayitzei milifnei Moshe. It's not just telling us a fact that they left Moshe. It's telling us how they left Moshe. That the Jewish people left changed, they left transformed, they left the way that you and I should leave Shabbos Kodesh, that beautiful line from Kol Mekadesh Shvi. I hope everyone enjoys that Dvar Torah because it's a beautiful, beautiful idea, something we can take with us. That is idea number one. Idea number two, which is unbelievably gorgeous, comes from Rav Chaim Shmuel Levitz, the Mashkiach of the Mir. This is money-back, guaranteed, beautiful idea. I promise you, this will not disappoint. Okay, here we go. Says Rav Chaim Shmuel Levitz, quoting the Gemara in Nedarim, Daf, Lamed Ches, Amar Rav Yochanan, Eina Kadosh Baruch Hu Mishra, Shchinaso, Ela Ala Gibor. That the Gemara says that Hashem only shines His divine providence on someone who maintains certain qualities. One of the qualities is that you have to be strong. You have to also be wealthy. It's a whole list of qualities. I think five or six. Now, it's obviously a very strange question. Why does someone who is a Navi, why is a prophet have to be strong? Right? Doesn't that make it a little strange to you? The Chafetz Chaim, Rav Moshe Feinstein, right? These weren't necessarily physically strong people. What does it mean then when the Gemara says that Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mishra Shechina So Ela HaLagibor Ve'asher? Right? They have to be strong. And the Gemara then goes on to give a whole slew of interpretations, a whole limud in the Gemara, trying to figure out, right, how do we know that a person has to be strong? Asks the Rush on that Gemara Nedarim, Rabbeinu Asher, the following basic question. Tema, I have a question. Amai lo yalif mikrashim. Why don't we learn it out from the wooden beams in the Mishkan, as the Pasuk says, Vayakam Moshe es HaMishkan. Moshe builds the Mishkan. Do you need any better proof that a Navi has to be strong than the fact that Moshe lifted these wooden beams? These wooden beams, by the way, were not small beams. They were 10 amos. They're enormous, right? Think about like when you see the Navy SEALs training. I don't know about you. I love watching Navy SEALs training, right? So when you watch Navy SEALs training, it's like 10 of them carrying one of these beams. And even then, they're like collapsing in their shoulders and they're moaning and they're groaning, right? Moshe Rabbeinu lifts not just one of these beams, but he lifts multiple of these beams over and over and over again. So says the Rush, if you need a proof for the fact that a Navi has to be strong, why don't you learn it out from Moshe Rabbeinu? Listen to what Rav Chaim Shmuel Levitt says. Rav Chaim Shmuel Levitt says that Umikan, Shekocho Gadol, Kikola Hevdel Ben Gibor Leben Chalash, says Rav Chaim Shmuel Levitt, we are misunderstanding what it means to be strong. It does not mean that you are physically strong, that you can do 50 push-ups. I went for a jog on Sunday, and afterwards I thought I was done. I was going to go home and shower, and then the guy I was running with was like, no, we're doing 50 push-ups. I was like, you know, maybe this is a little surprising for you. I'm not the guy who does 50 push-ups. But he stood there over me until I did 50 push-ups. I couldn't move my arms. I actually couldn't do tachan in that morning because I couldn't lift my arm anymore, right? So, says Reb Chaim Shmuel Levitz, it can't be that strength is measured solely in how many push-ups you can do. He says, rather, what is it? Hu b'midat nitzul hakochot. It is dependent upon how much energy you put into something. Shamit ametz. Umitnatzel et kochotav bechol yecholto zehu gibor. A person who is willing to invest all of their energy into something, a person who is willing to invest all of their focus, that requires a lot of power. That is what we define as a gibor, says Reb Chaim Shmuel Levitz. Reb Chaim Shmuel Levitz is not defined by physical strength. It is defined by someone who is willing to put all of his energy into it. Not someone who's half-baked. Not someone who dabbles in something. But when you are willing to put all of your energy and all of your focus and all of your kochos into something, then you are defined as a gibor. What's his proof? His proof is elsewhere in the Gemara in Nedarim, where the Gemara tells us that on the day that Aaron HaKohen gave Kedusha to all of the Levim, there were 22,000 Levim. And the Pasuk over there says that Shehinif, that Aaron literally lifted up, he physically lifted up the Levim and he waved them around. Ask Reb Chaim Shmuel Levitz, how in the world did Aaron do that? He lifted 22,000 people in one day? That is a miracle. So how do you understand Aaron HaKohen's strength there? Says Reb Chaim Shmuel Levitz again, because now we're redefining strength. Gevura, strength in Judaism, to be a gibor, is something that any of us can be. To be a gibor is when you give something all that you have. When you put all of your energy and all of your focus into something, that is what it means to be a gibor. That is what it means to be strong in Judaism. When you put all of your energy and focus into something to make it happen. He points out, now we understand the mission in Pirkei Avos, where we say, Ezu gibor, hakovesh es yitzro, that who is a gibor, who is someone strong? It's someone who is able to suppress, overcome their yetzahara. Right? Again, that has nothing to do with physical strength. What it means is that when you're willing to put everything into something, you find it hard to get up in the morning to go to Minyan. When you put all of your effort and all of your focus into making that happen, then you're a gibor. You find it hard to learn, right, to learn through a blot of Gemara, when you put all of your energy and all of your focus and all of your kochos into it, now you are a gibor, right? So when you just dabble in something, when you're a blasé kind of person, when you say, yeah, so if I don't put 100% of my effort, it's okay, what's the world going to miss out? Says Reb Chaim Shmuel Levitz that it's very easy to define ourselves as a gibor. It simply requires us to put all of our energy and all of our focus and all of our resources and all of our kochos into something. And when we do that, we are a gibor. And so Moshe Rabbeinu was not physically the strongest of all people. But when Moshe Rabbeinu did something, he put his all into it. Aaron HaKohen was not the strongest physically of everybody. But when he did something, he put all of his energy and focus into it. And my friends, I think this is such a beautiful idea. It's an amazing idea on the Parsha. Amazing idea. But I think it's such an important lesson for all of us. Because whatever it is that you excel at, whatever it is that is unique to you, whatever it is that Hashem decided you uniquely bring to this world, the world needs all of you. Because the world is a broken place. There is so much suffering. There's so much brokenness. There's so much imperfection in this world. And if Hashem gave you air in your lungs this morning, it is for a very simple reason. And that is because Hashem thinks that you have something to contribute to the lives of the people around you or to the world around you. And the world needs all of you. It needs 100% of you. It needs your full focus and your full energy and your full kochos. So if your thing is chesed and that you go shopping for people, or you bring flowers to people, or you do whatever, you call people out of shops, go all in on it. And if your thing is learning, that you connect more intellectually, then you know what? I was talking to a guy last night. Don't just dabble in learning. Don't just flow through an art scroll, but challenge yourself to put 100% of your effort and 100% of your focus into it, because that's what the world demands. If you're coming to davening three times a day, don't even tune out. I come to davening. It's something I do. It makes me feel like I could check a box off. Once you're there, put 100% of yourself into it. Have that meaningful conversation with the Almighty. That, says Reb Chaim Shmuel Levitz, is what it means to be a gibor, what it means to be strong. It means to put all of our energy, all of our focus, all of our resources, all of our kohos into something. So idea number one was a beautiful idea from Reb Chaim, Moshe Sternbach. Vayitzu kol adas b'nei Yisrael milifnei Moshe. Why does it have to tell us they left Moshe? Because, as we said, how you leave something says everything about the experience. And the homework for us there was to savor Shabbos for just a few more minutes. I promise you, you won't miss out on anything major. Idea number two comes from Chaim Shmuel Levitz. What does it mean that Moshe was a gibor, right? The Gemara Nedarim, the Rush's question. Why don't you prove that Moshe was strong? He says we're defining strength all wrong. Strong is not defined in physical terms. Strength is defined rather in how much of our energy and how much of our focus we are willing to put into something. Idea number three comes from the Yalkut Shimoni. The Yalkut Shimoni points out that our parsha is the only parsha in the entire Torah which begins with the word vayakel, which means to gather. What is the significance of that word? Says the Medrash, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem says, Asa lecha kihilos gedolos. Make for yourselves large communities, large shuls. Vidoresh lifnehem birabim. And the rabbi should get up in front of a large shul and he should teach. He should inspire. He should give a drasha. Hilchos pesa Shabbos kedesh yilmedu mimcha doros habayim. So that people in future generations will learn. Lahakil bechol Shabbat v'Shabbat, so that people will learn the value in gathering as a community every single Shabbos. V'lichnos bebate midrashos, and to gather together in a base medrash. L'lamed u'lahoros l'Yisrael divrei Torah iser v'heter, so that we can learn together, we can learn halachas together, and we can be inspired together. What an amazing medrash. This actually might be my favorite. What an amazing medrash. The Medrash says, you want to know why Moshe Rabbeinu had to gather everyone together? Why couldn't you sit in front of your own tent and listen to Moshe Rabbeinu? Because Hashem says there's going to come a time where gathering together is difficult. Not just because of COVID, but because our society no longer values gathering together. Where you can listen to a shir online, you can listen to YU Torah, you can listen to Torah anytime, you can listen to any number of venues, and you no longer have to gather in person to learn. So Hashem says there's going to come a time where that notion of community is going to be threatened. And so says Hashem, I want you to gather the Jewish people together. Kedei sheyilmedu mimcha doros habayim. So that future generations will learn the value of lahakil b'chol Shabbat v'Shabbat. They'll learn the value of gathering together every Shabbos. Now again, if you are unvaccinated and you can't come to shul, 100%. Learn online, participate online. That's been the last year of our life. But if you can come back in person, if you are vaccinated, right, it's time to come back. We need community. I miss community. Where was I the other day? I was with people. And I stopped and I thought to myself and I said, I missed this so much over the last year. And while Baruch Hashem, wherever you're joining us from, we here in BRS, thank God, we are very full on Shabbos's. But it's still not the same. I miss it. I miss people. I want to share with you an unbelievable statistic. This was a study conducted a few years ago, and you can even imagine how much it is magnified now. But they studied in England, and they found that when asked children who they would ask a question to first, their parent or to Google. Again, I have a question. Who would you first ask the question to, Google or your parent? I won't even tell you this. It's a crazy number. Said they would ask Google first, and only 3% of the respondents said that they would ask their teacher a question before checking Google. 3%! 3 out of every 100 children in England would ask a teacher a question before coming to Google, and of that remaining 97%, I forgot the exact number, but it was astronomical. How many would first ask Google before even asking their parent. The head of the survey said the following: "This isn't necessarily a bad thing. It shows just how commonplace digital technology is for children today and how comfortable they are with using it." That is beautiful, wonderful, so nice, but it's missing out on something so beautiful to us, which is called human interaction, about coming together and about connection. That part of what makes learning unique is when you come together with a person, and that makes that learning personal. It's that human component of learning which internet and social media lacks. And so while I love learning with all of you, and I relish our opportunity to learn with each other, and chas v'shalom, for a minute I'm not minimizing any of it, there's something so special about community. That, says the Yalkut Shimoni, is what Hashem was teaching Moshe Rabbeinu. The value of community. The value of coming together. Listen to his words, right? Asei lecha ki lo gedolot. Don't have 19 different shtiblach on one block, but make for yourself big shuls and come together and value community and value that human interaction. We have this elsewhere in the parsha, probably the most famous vort on Vayakob Pekude, because there aren't a lot of vorts. And it's the Vavim Amudim. That when Moshe Rabbeinu did the accounting, we all know that he was 1,775 shekel short. They did an audit. Everyone thought that something was missing. Perhaps Moshe Rabbeinu was skimming some off the top. Moshe Rabbeinu panics. He does an audit and he realizes that he forgot to count the Vavim Amudim. He forgot to count the tiny hooks that keep the Mishkan together. And all the Meforshim, all the Bali Musar, all the Chassidish Shesvarim, they all point out what was so significant of these hooks. Because that's what the Mishkan was about. The Mishkan was about connection. The Mishkan was about making people feel together. That's why we don't just call a shul a, right? We call a school a Beit Sefer, a place where you learn, where you have books. What is a shul? A shul is a Beit Knesset. A Beit Knesset means it's a place where you and I gather. It's not just a place to daven. And it's not just a place to learn. But it's a place of gathering. It's a place of connection. It's a place of human interaction. And that is ultimately whether you can come to shul or not yet, right? Please God, over the next couple of months, we need to double down on the value of community. We need to double down on the importance of human interactions. And so we saw three beautiful ideas this morning, which I will always summarize. And again, I want to thank all of our sponsors this morning. Idea number one comes from Moshe Sternbach. Beautiful idea. Why does it tell us the Jewish people left Moshe? Because it says a lot about a person, not just how they run into something, but how they leave something. So he says it in the context of when they left Moshe Rabbeinu, they had experienced the Kedusha so much, they left transformed. I made a hosaf on it and said, can we apply this to Shabbos? Hama'acharim latzeis min ha-Shabbat, umima'arim lavo. It's easy to run into Shabbos, but let's savor Shabbos. This Motzi Shabbos, let's savor Shabbos for just a few more minutes before you rush to turn on your cell phone and before you run to turn on social media. Savor just a few more moments of Shabbos. That was idea number one. Idea number two came from Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, the Mashkiach, the Mir Sichos Musar, where he says, what does it mean to be a Gibor? What the rush is question on the Gemara Nedarim. We know that a Navi needs to be strong. The Raya is Moshe Rabbeinu. How do we know Moshe Rabbeinu is strong? This crush him, these huge beams, Moshe Rabbeinu was able to lift them. He says, no, that's not what strength means. Strength means when you put all of your energy, when you put all of your focus, when you put all of your kishkas into something, then you are a gibor. And the last idea comes from the Yalkut Shimoni. Hashem says, why is it so important that they gathered? Vayakel. Why was it so important that they gathered together? Because Hashem wanted to teach Moshe Rabbeinu the value of community, the value of connection, the value of coming together to learn. As someone pointed out, that's why we have chavrusas. We don't learn alone. We learn as a form of connection. I've quoted it many times. I can't fully endorse the book because parts of the book are complete heresy. But David Brooks, in his book, The Second Mountain, this is what he talks about. His whole premise of the book is that why is it that there's more mental health challenges and more depression and more anxiety in our generation than ever before? And he makes the argument, and he proves it based on statistics, that we are the loneliest generation. We have moved so far, we've swung the pendulum so far into autonomy and into individualism, hyper-individualism, the I generation, that we've lost that sense of community, we've lost that sense of connection. And when there is no sense of connection, when there is no sense of community, that, he argues, is what has caused the breeding ground for so much loneliness and so much depression and so much anxiety. And the whole premise of his book is to come back to community. I didn't need David Brooks to tell me that. I needed Parshas Vayakhel to tell me that. Hashem says Vayakhel, the reason why it's so important to come together is because there will come a time in history when the pendulum will swing toward hyper-individualism, and you Jews will always remember and you will always value just how important community is. And with that, I wish everyone a beautiful, meaningful, and inspirational Shabbos. And I yearn and I pine for the day when all of us can learn together in Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh.